you first played together, 1990 or 10 years before the Bad Plus were formed, I tried to imagine you three as young people getting together and playing for the first time, and I have two scenarios in my imagination. The first is you're walking into a rehearsal studio, or maybe it's a school room. Dave King's got a school uniform on, including shorts and a tie. He sits down at the drums, which are already magically gated and highly processed. Ethan's arms are raised up above the piano. They come smashing down as Reed smashes into his lowest string, and the theme from Chariots of Fire just comes out, fully formed, before Vangelis has even written it, maybe. And the other scenario is that you get there and you have the real book and you open it to the Dolphin Dance and you play through that 99 times as a kind of way of learning how to play on changes. Is either of those close to the possibility of what happened?
I'm going to say that I'm gonna just do this now and get it out of the way. In 1990, if someone would have been there saying, you know, before you guys play a note, who's one of your people you want to connect with at some point? I'd say Django Bates, personally, so I would have brought some of that energy in 1990. To be totally honest with you, we were so invested in trying to find a personal language. It was probably pretty bad when we were first playing together. In fact, it was, but no one was kind of laying back and waiting for the other to plow the path for us. We all kind of jumped in with, well, this is how I sound, and this is how I sound, and that's why I use you as a reference of something so iconoclastic from a generation right before us. And
didn't you guys see Django?
We did. We met when Reed and I were 17. We met you in Minnesota. It was actually a huge deal for us to meet you. You were playing with Earthworks at the same time Sting was playing at this giant outdoor thing in the Twin Cities, and we were the only ones not at Sting. Me and Reed and Craig Taborn. And we met you and we walked with you. You were checking out this sort of fair carnival type thing, and you had, it was just like, for us, it was a very serious moment. And actually hear you play, we were just the nerdy jazz guys, and it was just, it was really, you were really important to it, me especially, I have to say. I mean, I get that out of the way now, but you're one of my favorite musicians. And so if in 1990, if someone would have said we were here rapping with you and doing these things, I would have been very pleased, you know. Whatever we need to do to get there is what I would have said. Gate the drums, I don't care.
Well, that's very sweet. I'm so glad I didn't know any of that before I asked that question. But thanks for your description of you getting together for the first time and having such a clear idea about that your main thing was to develop a personal sound.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think that's such a strong way to begin at such a young age.
It takes, you know, when you start that way, though, it definitely takes a while to find your footing because, I mean, even with the three of us, we certainly weren't right for each other at the time because we had that attitude, all of us, you know. And it took 10 years for us to get our, really find our way and be comfortable in our own skin so we could come back together and really feel like we had something to say together.
Yeah.
Sort of in the air at the time was everyone would talk about, you know, what this music needs is bands. It needs a committed band and people that are just going to play group music and, you know, take it on the road together and make sacrifices together. And it's really actually hard to do. It's easy to talk about that, but it's hard to actually pull it off. And the three of us were willing to do that. And, you know, based on a lot of things, but mainly because we felt that we just had some music to make that was ours.
So Django, we're so looking forward to playing with you tomorrow.
Yeah. Me too.
This is going to be an event for all of us. We should maybe tell listeners out there today that this is an improv gig in the style of like the great free jazz masters. So we have an hour and a half to make music together, and it'll be totally tabula rasa. Just we'll find out what it is when we begin playing it.
Yeah, that's a courageous and refreshing move. We did talk about possibly exchanging a few numbers together. You know, I'd send you three, you'd send me three. And then as it got closer to following that plan, I began to think more about the reality of you three, this trio that's been going, first played together, 1990, this huge powerful thing, and then me being a kind of molecule swimming around the outside of that nucleus. And I think it would have felt like that. It would have been much harder to actually get in there together and mess things up or make beautiful things. Mm-hmm. That was my thinking.
I understand that, yeah.
And also I'd seen your gig at the Vortex, the Buffalo.
All right. Yeah, this is sort of a Buffalo Collision style gig in a way. Yeah, that's the group with Dave and Iron, with Tim Byrne and Hank Roberts.
That's right. And that was the first time I'd seen you in a completely free musical setting. And it was very different and very refreshing and exciting possibilities. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Are you going to be playing some keyboards and horn?
Keyboards and horn, definitely, yeah.
What other instruments do you play, Django? All of them? He just answers all of them. I play every instrument equally well.
No, I don't really. I mean, I had to write for guitar recently, and the only way I could do that was to sit with a guitar and check that everything was logistically playable. So to that level, I can play. The one instrument I don't really understand is the saxophone, or any instrument that has that many keys. Because it seems to me that whatever you write for a saxophonist, if you get the right guy or girl, they can play it. And that stops me from actually learning anything about it. I just write whatever I want and find the person who's crazy enough to learn it and play it. Do you play other instruments?
Well, I've heard you play the themed Pink Panther on the saxophone.
Yeah, I'm a pretty incredible saxophone player.
You've got a great tone, man.
Well, both Reed and Dave play piano well. In fact, Dave has a solo piano record out now. Have you heard that yet?
No.
Well, it's a piano drum duet record with myself. Nice. But I have one for you. I brought one for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to demand that you listen to it.
And what made you book yourself on piano?
It's a budget. Budget scene. So, there's that. Be nice, though, when you listen.
Oh, that's great. Django Bates talking to the Bad Plus. And before that, you heard excerpts from their most recent CD, Never Stop, with the very distinctive sound of the Bad Plus. But now for something completely different. The same lineup: Ethan Iverson on piano, Dave King on drums, and Reed Anderson on bass, but this time playing an entirely improvised set at the King's Place as part of the London Jazz Festival, with their special guest and friend Django Bates on keyboard, E-flat, horn and vocals.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
a jazz first, captured for Jazz on 3 at the King's Place in King's Cross as part of the London Jazz Festival. The Bad Plus, as you've probably never heard them before. Ethan Iverson on piano, Dave King on drums, and Reed Anderson on bass, joined there by someone they've had a long admiration for. That's Django Bates, who played keyboards, E-flat, horn, and was also singing at times